Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture lessons today speak of deafness and speechlessness. There are different kinds of deafness and speechlessness in the world. There is obviously the physical kind, which we encounter in our gospel, but there is also a spiritual kind of deafness and speechlessness, which we also encounter in our gospel, both for unbelievers, but that also affects believers. So let's take some moments today and ponder the scripture lessons before us, the epistle and the gospel. And as Jesus said on more than one occasion, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." A man who is physically deaf and physically unable to speak is brought to Jesus in our gospel by some caring friends whose ears worked just fine, who had heard the word about Jesus, maybe had heard Jesus preaching in person, and trusted in his power and his kindness to help their deaf friend. Since their friend's ears didn't work, he was at a serious disadvantage. Not only was it hard for him to get by in society, especially at that time, but being unable to hear, he lacked the primary means of receiving the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, as St. Paul says to the Romans. The preaching Jesus was doing, even the reports about Jesus that were being spread throughout Judea at that time, were beyond the reach of the deaf man. So his friends begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man and heal him. But Jesus does much more than that. Jesus takes the man aside and communicates with him using signs and symbols and actions that the man can receive through his working senses in order to learn some key spiritual truths, in order to receive the working of the Holy Spirit in the other ways available to him. First, Jesus puts his fingers into the man's ears. "Your ears can't be healed from the inside out," Jesus communicates to him. "The finger of God has to go into your ears." Faith in the heart comes again by hearing the gospel. And it's no coincidence that Jesus elsewhere refers to the Holy Spirit of God as the finger of God, because it's the Holy Spirit who enters the ears through preaching to work faith in the heart. Jesus then spits and touches the man's tongue. On another occasion, if you recall, Jesus spat on the ground and made a mixture of saliva and dust, a paste that he then put on a blind man's eyes and told him to go and wash. Here, Jesus apparently spits on his own hand and then touches the tongue of the deaf man with it. And here we are worrying about breathing too closely to one another. Your bodily healing comes from the body of Jesus. So does your spiritual healing. Through his body and the word of his mouth, the man's tongue would be healed. Through the suffering and death of Jesus' body, and through the word that goes out from his mouth, a sinner's tongue is also healed, as the Spirit of Christ enters first through the ears, through the preaching, and creates faith, by which he applies the bodily suffering and death of Jesus to you. He even places the body and blood of Jesus directly on your tongue in the sacrament of the altar, freeing your tongue to thank God, to praise God, and to confess Christ Jesus before men. Jesus looks up to heaven then and sighs. Sighing in Scripture is a symbol of the prayers that we sigh up to God, that we utter to God, especially in our troubles, in our sorrows, and in our sighings. Very simply, Jesus is teaching the deaf man to look up to God in faith in every trouble, to seek God's mercy through Christ Jesus, to cast all his sorrows onto the Lord, because the Lord cares for us. And then Jesus speaks the word of healing, which any lip-reading deaf person could easily perceive, ephphatha, be opened. And the man's ears were opened, and his tongue was loosed, and the people were amazed. But here we note a problem with the ears and the tongues of the people who were there that day. Jesus commanded them sternly not to tell anyone about this particular healing. They heard his command with their ears and then went on to ignore it, to use their tongues to do the opposite of what Jesus commanded. Now, we might think their intentions were noble. After all, what were they telling people but how wonderful Jesus was, that he does all things well? But, as they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Intentions are meaningless if the result is disobedience. Now, there are several lessons for us in this simple gospel, in addition to the obvious, that is, yet another testimony and example of Jesus' divinity and of Jesus' kindness and compassion given freely to all who come to him for help. First, as I already alluded to, we have here a beautiful picture of how God the Holy Spirit, the finger of God, works on our natural spiritual deafness and speechlessness, on our natural inability to know God until he comes to us and reveals himself to us in his word. We don't know God naturally from our hearts or on the inside. He comes to us and reveals himself to us. That's our natural inability also to believe his word. We can't believe it or truly trust in God or fear God or love God by nature because of our sinful nature, because of the original sin with which we're all born. But then the finger of God, the Holy Spirit, enters through our ears through the gospel. That's why Paul, in today's epistle, refers to the New Testament ministry as the ministry of the Spirit, of the ministry that brings the Spirit. The Old Testament ministry was written on stones and was based on what was written on those stones, the law, the commandments of God. And it brought condemnation and death to Old Testament Israel as the law revealed to them their sins and their desperate need for a Savior. It does the same thing to us as it reveals our sins and our desperate need of a Savior. But the New Testament ministry proclaims the gospel that Christ suffered and died for our sins, that Christ is the propitiation for our sins, the thing that makes God the Father happy with us and that makes us acceptable to him. The ministry that brings the Spirit proclaims faith in Christ. And then, as the gospel enters our ears, the Spirit works the very faith that's required for us to be reconciled to God. And then our tongues are also healed at the same time to pray to God rightly through faith in Christ, claiming only Christ as our mediator and our advocate before God. Our tongues are then freed also to give thanks to God and to praise God and to confess Jesus before the world. As Paul writes to the Romans, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." All that is the work of God the Holy Spirit, the finger of God, to open our ears and to loose our tongues. But there is also an application here for those who already believe, for those whose ears have already been opened by the gospel and the Spirit, whose tongues have already been loosed. It is entirely possible for ears that have once been opened to become shut again, and for tongues that have been loosed to become tied up again. If you fill your open mouth full of rocks, there's no room left for nutritious food, is there? So with the ears, if your opened ears become full of earthly things only, then there's no room for the heavenly word to enter. What do you listen to all day, every day? What fills your ears and penetrates your thoughts? The news that sounds worse each and every day? The complaints of those around you, or maybe of your own mouth? The false teachings of false teachers? The sounds that bubble up from your own heart? The sounds of this life? How does it affect you? It can be depressing, can't it? To the point of obsession, even. Sometimes we fail to hear God's word at all, and that's very dangerous for our faith. Or you can have a case like we have in our gospel today, where the crowds were actually listening to the words that Jesus was speaking, commanding them to tell no one of the miracle he had just done, but it went in one ear and out the other. They heard, but they didn't process. They heard, but they didn't obey. They seemed to have some degree of faith in Jesus. He does all things well, they said. But that faith was very weak, threatened by their ongoing deafness to what he actually said and their refusal to do what he said. That's how destructive false doctrine takes root, because people are sometimes eager to listen, but they filter it through their own human reason or through false beliefs that are already lodged in their hearts. People are sometimes eager to listen, but their itching ears, as Paul calls them in 2 Timothy, crave preaching that agrees with what they already believe, that agrees with what they want to hear. And then there's the tongues of believers, tongues that may still be quick to criticize, quick to complain, quick to demean, to mock, to ridicule, quick to tear down, but slow to pray, slow to praise, slow to give thanks, slow to confess Christ before the world, slow to build up your neighbor, slow to encourage, slow to defend your neighbor, slow to speak up against the wrong, and to speak up for what is right. So, you see, we too need the ongoing ministry of the Spirit. The ministry that brings the Spirit, the ministry of the gospel, what we're all doing here this morning. That's why our service here is filled with the Word of God, from the liturgy to the readings to the sermon to the sacrament. That's why you're listening now. So hear with your ears, repent and believe, and then obey God's commandments. Receive the body and blood of Christ in your mouth, and then use your loosened tongue to call upon God through Christ, to thank, to praise, and to confess. Use your tongues to encourage one another and to defend your neighbor. Speak up for what's right. Speak up against the wrong. And know that in all of it, you have the powerful Spirit of God working on you through His Word and working through you as He dwells in your hearts through faith and as you utter the words of God yourself. There He gives you all the strength you need to believe and to obey, to pray, to praise, and to confess Christ in the world. It may not seem like much to you, these simple acts of hearing and speaking, but they are the very instruments that God will use in this world to defeat the devil and to make his kingdom come. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.